thought about how all of those thoughts really come together in a scripture like Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul is writing to saints, to Christians who now have a share in the inheritance of God. And I want to read verses 3 through 14 with you, and I want you to pay attention to where you see the word praise in this text. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. If you followed really closely, you might have noticed three different verses where the word praise appears. It's verse 6, verse 12, and verse 14. And the reason for that is because all three of the Godhead are mentioned in this text. Verses 1 through 6 is all about what the Father has done. Verses 7 through 12 is all about what the Son has done. And verses 13 and 14 are all about what the Spirit is doing. And in each instance, Paul writes that it is to the praise of his glory. Since I'm a preacher, I've got three words that all start with the same letter. The Father planned it. The Son performed it, and the Spirit promises it. In terms of our salvation, that's what has been done for us. The Father planned it, the Son performed it, and the Spirit promises it. He talks about how we were predestined for adoption as sons. Long before God even created the universe, he had us in mind. He planned to save people who were humble enough to receive him and to love him and to obey him. The Son went to the cross, gave his life for us so that he could redeem us from our sins. And now, as we press on towards the time when God gives us all of these promises in their completion and their fullness, we have the Spirit as a guarantee. But all three parts are to the praise of his glory. When you think about that, it's a really compelling reason for us to choose to obey God. That we get to be a part of a story that is bigger than any of us. We get to be a part of a story that started long before the universe even was created. And we get to have a purpose that's bigger than any other purpose that we could imagine. That when you and I choose to be people who follow Jesus, we get to contribute to the praise of his glory. And really, that's exactly where Paul ends up. In verse 15, he goes on to say, for this reason, and I think he's got all of verses 3 through 14 in mind, because the Father planned it, because the Son performed it, because the Spirit promises it, it's all to the praise of his glory. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you. But look at what he prays for them in verse 18. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. See, what Paul wants these Christians to understand is that they have a hope that transcends anything that they could hope for in this life. That they are the people that God has purchased with the blood of his own Son. And that there is power available to them to be able to overcome evil, overcome sin, and one day be in heaven forever with God. And when we choose to be a part of this story, when we choose to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, then again, we get to join in this song of praise. It was all intended to glorify him. And when you and I choose that we're going to follow him, we're going to leave behind whatever we have to sacrifice, that we're willing to do whatever he asks us to do because we love him, then it shows the world how good he is, and it makes a beautiful illustration for the kind of relationship that we can have through Jesus Christ. And so that's the invitation that I want to leave you with this evening, is that all of this is to the praise of his glory. Praise isn't just something that we say, it's how we live. And when you choose to become a Christian and when you choose to live faithfully, then everything that you do is a way to show his goodness, his wisdom, and what a wonderful God that he is. If you need to make your life right with God, you can make a decision tonight that is to the praise of his glory. You can choose to honor him and give him the praise and the honor that he deserves. If we can help you in some way, we want to invite you to come to the front. Let us know what your needs are while we stand together and sing this invitation song.